We give expression to the absolute through freedom. In Proverbs 25:4, it says, "Take the dross from the silver, and the silver shines out pure." That's exactly the same with the spirit of man. It means to say that when you take out the dross from the soul of man, the soul shines out pure. When we are caught up in our own creations, we lose our creativeness. Real creativeness is feeling one with the omnipresence within. Although we live in the manifested world, realization of our oneness with the eternal presence makes all things relative. All the relative world is nothing compared to the creativeness within. You see, in the outer world we see creation. But creation cannot speak to you at all. It cannot turn round and it cannot say anything to you. It is only the creativeness that does that. That which is creative is eternal and ever present. That which is creative is formless. Creativeness creates form, but it is not subject to the form. Jesus says the flesh has no say in the matter. That is to say, the form has no say in the matter. What is created by the spirit which is creative, and remains entirely and completely creative, eternally, while that which is relative is known. That which is known is not the unknown, is not the creativeness. That which is known can never be the unknown, and only the unknown is creative. Therefore, when we see clearly this fact, you begin to analyze or to discern your own thoughts, discern your own mental formulation. Look upon your own creations and you will see they are relative to something that is not relative. Something that is creative and stands behind and is not discernible. You do not know what it is. The truth is not known. The truth is unknown. You will never know what the truth is. You can only see the manifestation of the truth. But when you see the manifestation of the truth, you will know that the truth has manifested. And that is to say, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. It's a tremendous question that troubles most minds. And everybody is trying to find out what the truth is, but that is an impossibility. What is known is not the truth. No matter how you can create in your mind or build up in your mind ideas of the truth, try to prove the truth. You can never do so because the truth is beyond the mind. But once we see this, and once we know that we are the living truth, then the truth is not something abstract. It's not an abstraction, something that is away and is not present. But it is the livingness, the life, the livingness that you are now at this very moment. Then you will know that you are the truth, and only in that livingness is there creativeness. The majority of people know only the objective world, a world of formulas, laws, regulations, creeds, dogmas, etc., that cause separation. These people are not aware of the one life that is created yet formless. A life that is eternal and ever-present in its omnipresence, which is our livingness. It is this one life that we must realize, a life that is free from all conditioning and which is our life. Life itself is not conditioned, it is free. Life stands beyond everything. It is eternal and ever-present. It is like electricity. Electricity is free in itself, in its natural state. When we need to bring electricity into activity, we make it relative. It is only then when we make it relative that it is dangerous to us. It's the same when we live in a relative world. The relative world is the only thing that is dangerous to us. And that relative world cannot be dangerous when we know the truth of our own creativeness. But if we are caught up in that relative world, then we find that our minds are torn hither and thither through our experiences, through our beliefs, through our dogmas, through our own creations, through our laws, mental laws, and human laws that are made. Laws that are made for what? We build up an ideal in our minds, and we try to bring that ideal into being. So to bring that ideal into being, we have got to create laws and regulations, and with that regulations, we create suppression. Eventually, we find that that suppression, like steam, in compressed portion, no matter how small and how large it may be, it will eventually escape in some way or another. So we find that we are living in a world that is relative. When we are aware of the one life which is also our life, service becomes a joy, for then we will be expressing life, translating life into our daily living. Without this, we will be continually expressing our conditioning, and from which there is no escape except through understanding how it comes about. When we understand our conditioning and how it comes about, it falls away from us, then freedom comes. Freedom is living in the omnipresent, in the ever-present. What we mean by omnipresent is that it is present everywhere, there is nowhere where it is not. And that omnipresent is ever-present. There is no time when it does not exist. It is timeless in its existence. And to realize this, we must get beyond the mind. We must understand what the relative world means. We must understand what our own creations mean, and we must understand how they come about. We will see that within ourselves there is this livingness that is created. And in this livingness is consciousness. And this consciousness must become aware of itself. Aware of itself, not what it is, but aware of that it is. And in that awareness, there is creativeness. But you must also become aware of that which is hindering the expression of this complete awareness or freedom, which we know to be free when we ourselves discern all that hinders the expression of this life. Jesus was the greatest exponent of that freedom. He went about freely. His mind was freed from all conditions. His mind was freed from the relative. That's why he could control the relative and direct it. When his mind was freed from the relative and was not caught up in the relative, then he had the power of creation. Now, what did you do? I'll tell you what you do. Being caught up in the relative, you want something. You begin to pray for that thing. But being caught up in the relative, you feel that you haven't got it. Therefore, you pray to have it. But in one portion of your mind, you have the idea that you have not got it. And on the other portion of your mind, you're praying for it. You believe you may get it. Now, that is living in opposition, is it not? You're living in contradiction. Therefore, you do not know because you are caught up in the relative. What I'm trying to show you tonight is this. If you're caught up in your own creations, if you're caught up in the relative, you have no power over the relative. But if you are not caught up in the relative, you can be free, and in that freedom, you have creativeness. The majority of people are caught up in their bodies. They have feelings. Immediately they have that feeling, they try to get rid of it. They struggle with it, but they're caught up in it. They don't realize that the fact is being caught up in this thing is the cause of their trouble. That the struggle is the cause that is the disease. Immediately you begin to struggle with that portion of your body that feels diseased, then you're giving it a power it does not possess because you're caught up in it. It is relative. It has nothing at all to do with life. Life is free, and consciousness is life. And in that freedom of the consciousness, then there is a complete awareness. And in that awareness, every atom of your body becomes charged with life. It is the Christ principle that is bearing through the whole of the body, and every cell becomes alive with this Christ Spirit. Now, what is the Christ Spirit? The Christ Spirit is none other than the Spirit of God Himself living in man. Therefore, I say, this livingness and this Spirit, this truth, this aliveness, you may call it, whatever name you like to give it, it makes no difference because it's alive and living. And this livingness you know to be, I am. In that, then, is the truth, is the power. And the whole body must respond because it's relative to the creativeness that is eternal and ever-present and is not subject to the body because the flesh has no say in the matter. But if you're caught up in those things, your consciousness becomes bound in the prison because it is caught up in the relative. Now you'll see that the only way you can release yourself from the relative is to discern it, to know it for what it is, to fall away. And there the consciousness is freed, and in that freedom you have creativeness. I can't give it to you like a drink of water, you've got to find it out for yourselves. But I know that is the truth. So freedom is living in the ever-present. This is living in reality and not being caught up in the past or the future or the relative world which we think is real, when it is but the manifestation and has no creativeness of its own. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he was speaking from the ever-present life in which there could be no limitation. If we do not understand this, we will be limited by the physical form in which we exist temporarily. Now you know that life, you exist in this body temporarily. And one day you will shed this body. And when you are freed from this body, you will no longer be troubled with the conditions of the body. You will just be as you are, completely free from those conditions. Therefore, why are you conditioned now in your own consciousness when the flesh has no say in the matter? I often wish that I could tell people what it is. I often wish I could give it to everybody, but when I try to explain that which is unexplainable, indescribable, they look with a faraway look, shake their head, say, I do not understand, because they have made no effort to understand themselves, or their thoughts, their emotions, their feelings, and how they come about. If you then are caught up in your feelings, in your emotions, in your thoughts, you're caught up in your bodies, in your troubles, then what happens to you? Is your consciousness not bound up in those things? You are no longer aware, are you? There is not this awareness in life that is totally and completely free. Oh no, it's the body, now the flesh, that has to say. But Jesus said, the flesh has no say in the matter. And I know that to be true. As Jesus spoke from the unlimited state of his own consciousness, we must do the same, realizing the ever-present eternal life now, moment to moment. I am the life, not in the past, nor in the future, but now in the ever-present. So everybody thinks they've got to wait till they die, till they free themselves from the conditions. When they escape from their body, or when they escape from the world, they will be free. That's a hideous idea, because freedom exists now. And if it doesn't exist now, it never will exist because of the ever-present life. Freedom means you live freely in the ever-present life. I look to Jesus, no matter what people say about him, no matter what they've written about him, I know that every word he said was true. And I'll tell you this also, as I told you before, that although these words were spoken 2,000 years ago, they were the expression of a truth that existed eternally. And that same truth will exist also eternally, because it lives eternally and ever present. Jesus was giving expression to a truth that all those who know the truth know that it is true. And that is why those words of his will remain forever and ever. Great prophets have existed in the times past, we know. Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets we read of. But there was no one who had freedom, that freedom from the relative. And when you read those words, you will see clearly what Jesus said when he came from the wilderness after his 40 days and 40 nights. I can imagine him then too clearly saying, I am the Son of God. I am free from all the relative. I've freed myself from the mind, from all the relative world as we see it for what it is. Now I know my own livingness. I know that the Father and I are one. And that awareness was not an idea or a belief, but a natural living reality. A conscious awareness of that livingness, which gave him the creative power to say, Lazarus, come forth. Because life had no limitation when free from the relative. And you speak those words then, seek in your mind and see how you're caught up in the rest. It is quite easy to find out. There's no difficulty in finding out whether you are caught up in the relative or not. Don't think it's difficult, remember, it's not difficult. It's quite easy when you realize that these things have no power of their own except the power that you give. When we are caught up in the past and the future in opposites and good and evil, which we think are realities, while in themselves they are nothing but the product of our own minds and reaction to our own conditioning, we live in limitation and confusion. Yes, we see evil all over the world. We see murder. We see all sorts of things. But what is the greatest evil in the world today? Is it not man's hate for his brother? Is it not so that hate brings destruction to the human family? And why does one hate his brother? because he's taught to hate his brother from the time he was born. He's conditioned by his nationality. He's conditioned by his religion. He's conditioned by his parents. He's conditioned by his environment. And he grows up with the hideous idea of hate instead of love. The blind lead the blind, and they all fall into the ditch. Oh, what a wonderful truth that is. Life alone is creative, and to be, I am, is to create. Becoming can never be creative. That is to say, you come here with the idea that you can become something, that you can become creative. And you look into the future for this creativeness. It will never come, never. Because becoming is going away from reality. Reality is now. You do not create it. It is a livingness that is now. I wish I could give you this realization of the livingness that I know to be true. But it is a truth. It's a livingness that is created. And in that freedom of that livingness, there is love and affection, which is the only reality there is. There is no other reality in the whole world but love and affection. And without it, the human family is doomed to destruction. We find a lull of the present time in the world of affairs. We see conferences here and conferences there. Is there any affection in these conferences? Is there any understanding in these conferences? No, there is nothing but political junk. And politics, as I see it, is the danger for the community throughout the whole world. Politics divides a nation. Intersections. Well, one says this party is the opposition and so forth, and this is the government, and they must have an opposition. How can you ever have harmony when you have got opposites? Everyone trying to tear down what is being built up. Throughout the whole world we see politics. In every nation is politics. And what is that politics? Division. Division in the nations, division in the world, which brings cruelty and hate. You've only got to look around you, you will see how stupid the whole thing is. Eventually, perhaps, not until some great catastrophe comes upon the people of the world, will they listen to the truth, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man? Unless we understand this, we will forever live in limitation in opposites. When we are caught up in our own ignorance, we lose the creativeness that can speak the word, Lazarus, come forth. When we have discerned all these hindrances, there will arise an awareness which is the expression of reality itself. Then we will know that there is no such thing as limitation in reality, but reality expressing itself in which there is no limitation. When we experience this, we will know the meaning of, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You know, it seems impossible that the mind of man can grasp the mind of that man called Jesus. It seems impossible that we can grasp that mind, but I see no reason why we cannot grasp that mind. I can see clearly that it is possible to grasp that mind, and the only way possible is to discern the self. Its ways, its cravings, its hates, and all these things that are preventing the realization of this mind. because that mind was freed from opposites, freed from hates, freed from all these things that we have in our minds today. But if you look into your mind and you discern these things, they dissolve away. You begin to understand yourself. The great thing is to know oneself. In my world of form, reality breathes without limitation. That is, in this world of form, this body, reality breathes without limitation. In the same life in the body, the same life beyond the body. There's only one life, and it's not divided in the body. God is not divided. Life is indivisible, whether in the body or outside the body. There can be no division in life. But if I'm caught up in the form, this is my limitation. Jesus said the flesh has no say in the matter. This we find to be true when we are not limited by the form in which we exist. Are you limited by the form in which you exist? If it is so, then the form is ruined. The absolute to me is no longer some remote abstraction. Reality me is a livingness which is myself, my real self, my livingness, my consciousness. That is what reality is to me. A livingness of which I am myself. There is no separation between that which is manifested and the unmanifest, the uncreated, yet the uncreated is alone created. This is I am, that I am. The created cannot speak for itself, for it has no say in the matter. When you have found this out from within yourself, then you are free. It cannot be my word or the word of another, for then it would be but a belief, and this is but a mental formulation. You can never experience truth through an image or a belief or a mental formulation. It is impossible for you to realize the truth through any formulation, or through belief of any kind, or through an idea. You can only experience it in the livingness which you are. That aliveness, that is consciousness, that is awareness. The whole thing is so simple. Yet how is it that you are always caught up in the form? Because the form rules. The created cannot speak for itself, for it has no say in the matter. Creativeness is within all of us, and we are all expressing our creativeness in different ways, yet it is the same creativeness. There can be no other, for there is only one. But if we are caught up in the creation, we are no longer creative. So we crave and we desire, we covet our neighbor's goods, we battle, we struggle, we create strife, conflict, and misery, because we struggle in the relative. To know that you are in the relative, to know that you live in the relative, to know what the relative is frees you from it. The people will say, pray to God, they will say, oh God, take this away from me. And if they believe that God will take it away from me, it's a bit of an illusion they have created in their own minds in opposition to the thing they are suffering. But if you know that you are spirit, if you know that you are creative, if you know that you are the Father and you are one, that you are definitely spirit, and the God is not some abstract being in a somewhere distance on the mountains or on hills or behind or in the sky or on the heavens, but is the very livingness that lives in you and which gives you consciousness, then you have found the means of cleansing the body by being aware. So please take it from me that God is not some remote abstraction. For Jesus would never have said those words, I and the Father are one. He had found that livingness which was God and is reality and is the only reality. There is none other. But you make a reality out of the relative. You make a reality out of your conditions. And therefore you struggle with that reality because you believe it to be a reality. Therefore you struggle with it when it is not necessary. If you could only know the peace that comes into the mind and the heart, when that completeness at home comes, if you could only understand the peace that comes, yes, I can know what Jesus said, peace I give you is not as the world gives it. If we could but realize that we can give shape to creative ideas in which there is no separation, no limitation, and for that which is working in us is that which is manifesting in the manifested universe, then we would be free. That the same life that is manifesting in us now is manifesting throughout the whole universe, and there is no division. And there is no separation. When you come to this completeness, this awareness of this truth, you feel that the whole universe is yourself. I can remember when I experienced it. I was sitting in the Himalayas, in a particular part of the Himalayas, and I was looking at the top of another mountain covered with snow, the peak of the Kanchenjunga, it was. And I was looking at that, meditating in the way that we should meditate, not trying to control the mind and control the thoughts, but discerning everything that was relative. And all of a sudden, I was actually on the peak of the mountain looking at the snow, that there was no separation between that point and me. I knew then that the universe was one in which I could move and have my being, and there was nothing to stop me. Here was a conscious realization of the soul moving in space, and the spirit was the animating power, the awareness, the aliveness that gave me awareness of that truth. You think that that would be a moment. No, it was far longer than a moment. But I realized at that time, because I had known already, to try and recapture that moment was a useless thing, that experience would be only in my mind. But the principle, the life, and the consciousness, and the ways and the means were always present. Therefore, it was possible always. Life remains itself no matter in what form it is expressing itself. When this is understood to the full, the release of the creativeness from within takes place and finds full expression in the form. The form is a living energy and manifestation. Pluck a flower and is there, a handful of earth and you hold it in your hand. The world about us is no longer a prison house, as the air and sky reveal its presence. That livingness. Reality has ceased to become a stranger, something afar off, while we become conscious of its presence from which we cannot be separated. That is the whole. To become conscious in that presence in which there is no separation. You know what is said often, do not let your left hand know what your right hand does. I know that is true. It is most essential that we do not let the left hand know what our right hand does. As most people are always saying what they have done and so forth. But it's sometimes as a lesson that we should realize that although we do things that we give and give and give, but we do not say what we do. Because when we do that, we have had our reward. The fact is, when you begin to give, the great giver makes a channel of you so that he can serve through joyful living and serve through understanding. I had the experience several times, and there isn't a day goes by that I have not some experience in this field. And although I have probably in my pocket many checks that have passed long, long ago that have been given to me as IOUs, they have never been cashed because of the fact that it was a gift. Now, I know that these things come into your life. But the fact is, I have found this, that the more I give, the more I get to give. That's the most wonderful thing that comes into one's life. The other night, my sister and I was going to the theater. It was last night, in fact. And a woman with a baby came up to the car. She was a young woman with a baby in her arms. I looked at her and I knew that she was perfectly sober, and she came up and spoke to us. She told the story. When I told her what to do, she had nowhere to go. So Laura said to me, "You must give her a few shillings." I said, "A few shillings is no good to a woman who has to have a bed and shelter for the night. She needs pounds." Then I give her what was sufficient to keep her for the weekend. I never knew her from a bar of soap, and I told her to go to the police station and tell them your story. Tell them that a doctor sent you there, and they have got to see that you have accommodation for the weekend. Then on Monday, you will go to the court and you will get what you need." Well, of course, streams of tears flew down our eyes. I see clearly that the woman was a genuine case, and she was a genuine case. Now, and Flora said to me, "Why did you give her all that money?" I said this way to her: "Whatsoever you do into the least of these, so you've done unto me." That is the great thing, is to know there is no separation. To know that here is trouble, here is difficulties. And as Jesus said, a drink of water even, whatever you do unto the least of these, so have you done unto me. I think those words are the greatest words that have ever been spoken, because they contain the essence of affection and love. They contain that essence of affection and love that makes us human and divine at the same time. If the whole world then realized the importance of those words, a wonderful change would take place. I am looking forward, because of the fact although it exists at very moment today. The brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God exists now at this very moment, if man would only take hold of it and make it a reality. The time will come when it must be so, when man begins to advance and understand his own mind, that which is hindering the expression of that great truth. We may not see it in our lives, but it will come. There's no doubt about it. The Christ work will not be finished until all those flocks, the various flocks, the various nations, the various groups, are all brought together under one shepherd, and then there'll be one shepherd and one flock. Although we are discussing on the intellectual level, it is most essential that we experience what is said, for it to merely remain on the intellectual level, it is of little value. We must experience in a deeper state of consciousness a livingness that is not a limitation or a mental formulation. This comes as we clear the mind of all hindrances, and this is done automatically as we see what is false and what the mind is made up of. So if we are at this very moment what we are really doing, we are discussing on the intellectual level. But if it merely remains on the intellectual level, if there is nothing, there is no transformation. If you remain on the intellectual level, you're only reacting and not acting. Acting comes through transformation in the deeper levels of the consciousness, where that livingness that really is comes to the consciousness and frees itself from all that hinders it. That is a transformation. That is the livingness that is God in you. That is the Christ, the living Christ. Not a dead Christ, but a living Christ that is conscious in you now at this very moment. And that aliveness is the Christ in you. And that is discerned completely and understood, man will free himself. When we see that our mental formulations regarding matter are problematical, we will cease to regard solidity as something to be carried, something to stumble over. When we realize that it is the manifestation of the unmanifest, we will free ourselves from these mental formulations that burden and limit us. We will know freedom in a free universe when formerly there was nothing but burdens and limitations. So when you see that your mental formulations regarding matter are merely problematical and change according to the investigations of science, and we regard matter as a solid substance, the solidity of matter prevents us from doing this and that. When we begin to realize that it is not so, that matter is not a solid substance, but is porous, and it's the manifestation of the unmanifest, then we can reach that state of consciousness of the Master in which the creative life works with effortless spontaneity to achieve the perfection of which it itself is. We'll realize that the one life is creating within us with that effortless perfection as it is manifesting throughout the whole universe. For there is no separation between the life in us and the life in that universe in its omnipresence. Wherever there is perfection, there the Absolute has found release through the mind that has been freed from its own conditioning. The Absolute has found release through its own creation. The Creator and his creation become one, as they always were from the very beginning. The only thing that prevents the realization of this is man's own conditioning. The Creator and his creation are one. Can you understand what I'm saying? When the mind is freed from its own conditioning, its beliefs, its images, its ideas, there comes a silence beyond time in which you become conscious of the truth of your being. Then there is freedom, and in this freedom there is the releasing of the creative energy in all its own perfection. Your bodies become strong and virile. Things that worry you will pass away. It is the Father, whoever remaineth within me, he is performing his own deeds. Now don't say to me now that these things crowd in upon you and you can't overcome them. That is all a story. That is because you will not look at the things truly and freely, impersonally, without being caught up in the conditions. In great works, in art and crafts, in commerce and in industry, there is the hand of genius. With freedom and experience, we cooperate with this creative genius, that which is life's expression, and which amazes all who look upon it. This is the creativeness within being giving expression to the unconditioned mind. The unmanifest, the uncreated life manifesting in us is given release through freedom, and only through freedom is this realized. Yes, in great works, and in arts and crafts, in commerce and in industry, we see this gene. We see the intelligence in operation. And the freer the mind is, the greater is that genius. The greater amount of intelligence that is operating throughout the whole universe is operating through that mind that has freed itself from that condition. It is, I have mine own self from nothing. Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. Let us understand this clearly, that man and not God made yesterday and tomorrow. God is ever-present life, and to live in the ever-present life is freedom. The Spirit of God is the Christ in mankind, and is the ever-present life that knows no past or future, being ever-present and eternal. Look into your own mind then and see if you're living in the past and in the future. And if you are living in the past and the future, you will know that you are not living in the present. And when you know that you are not living in the present, it's the first rung of the ladder. You put your foot on that first rung of the ladder and you climb. And the progress becomes eternal and ever-present. The Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, exists in the whole of humanity and does not age or die. Aging and dying are man's mental conditioning. When you have discovered this through your awareness, moment to moment, the eternal Christ is revealed. As you know me, as I am, so shall you be. The same Christ 2,000 years ago, the same Christ today, the same Christ a million years ago. It's the same. There is no time. It is in the timeless we find this truth. It is not in time that truth can be revealed to you, because time cannot reveal the truth. The past or the future can never reveal the truth. Only the living present can reveal that truth, that which is living now. I am that living truth. So therefore, God to me is not some abstract being far away in the distance that I've got to pray and supplicate to. But I know that we cooperate. As Jesus said, what I see the Father do, I do likewise. The Father and I are one. This truth does not exist in the conditioned mind, yet all must come to the same state as Jesus did in revealing the Christ of God. But it cannot be done while man is caught up in his different beliefs, in his enmity, in his antagonisms. Well, man conforms to a ritual, to a pattern, He will be conditioned.
And all he can do is to express his conditioning. Not until he frees himself from his conditioning.
And he find the truth that sets him free. Man is still eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not until he becomes aware of what he is doing to himself will he cease to eat the fruit of ignorance and cling to the tree of life, which alone is his salvation. The prophet saw clearly that the tree of good and evil grew out of man's mind. Therefore, he was always looking upon it, and he was living in opposites, and living in confusion. But immediately he saw the tree of life, and he clung to it. He knew that he was free. That life was his freedom. That was his salvation. And when he discerned all these things of the mind, they fell away from him, and he was free from them. It no longer troubled him again. He was freed from them because of life that is eternal and ever present. The love life, the only thing that has affection in love, is the Christ, the living Spirit of God in man. Man must become aware of his oneness with the ever-present reality, and not something afar off which he can never reach. Man must become aware of the Christ filling the whole consciousness. Then we will cease to be at war with ourselves and others. Through our true relationship with one another, we will find peace and happiness. But how can you have a relationship with one another? You cannot have a relationship where there is enmity, where there is jealousy, where there is hate, where there is separation. Can you have true relationship with one another when you are in conflict with one another? There is no such thing as true relationship in that way. There is only true relationship when you have deconditioned yourself. When you have rid yourselves of all your conditions, and also rid the other person of his conditioning too, by seeing him free from his conditioning, seeing him clearly as you are yourself, free. But you cannot see him freed until you have freed yourselves, because what you see in others is mirrored in yourself. And therefore, the conditioning must be understood so it will drop away. Then you can see the other free from his conditioning, and you can then have true relationship. Both are then sons and daughters of God, free from that conditioning that prevents the expression of that love, that peace, that harmony.
That exists eternally.
We don't have to create peace. We do not have to create love. Love is a living expression of the Christ. And peace is the living expression of God. When we have done away with the things that are hindering the expression of these things, we will have them. We are now, because we do not create them. In the personal sense, there is always pain and conflict. Yet through discerning thoroughly this limitation, we will find the unlimited, the beloved within ourselves. Then our affection becomes free from attachment,
free from possessiveness, and glorious in it. For we will know our neighbor as ourselves.
Whatever you do with the least of these, so you do unto me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Benediction, O ever-present life, thou alone art created. Thou canst not be antagonistic to thine own creation in any form. It was the illusion of separation in my mind, while in ignorance of our oneness, that created my fear and loneliness. The illusion of separation was the cause of ill health, unhappiness, and sense of lack. But in my despair, I dimly hear thy silent voice say, remove from your mind all that hinders my expression in you, and we will be one as we always were one. Then thy light that shone from the beginning shone in every corner of my being. Henceforth, beloved one, there shall be no more darkness, for I shall live in thy presence forever. O eternal creation.